Remain standing for the reading of the scriptures together. And our text this morning will come from the book of Jonah. From Jonah and chapter 1. And we'll read verse 3. It's on page 982 in your pew Bibles. And this is the word of him who reigns from Zion's sacred height. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So the prophet Jonah gives you and I the message that the Holy One of Israel will assert his right to rule. He will assert his supremacy, not only over Israel, but over all the nations, and that he will wield his scepter. He will send his victorious word abroad. Just as we sang in Psalm 110 earlier this morning, he will send out his word. Jehovah shall from Zion send the scepter of thy power. The power of Christ, the scepter of Christ will go forth. And so Jonah is given this command. He's given a commission. Just as the people of Israel are given a commission, just as the first couple is given a commission, just as his church at the ascension of Christ is given a commission, and it is the commission to rise and go and to cry out. Verses 1 and 2, we've seen this word of the Lord that came to Jonah, and it is a call, it is a commission for him to rise and go. It is a sovereign, righteous, gracious command. How does Jonah respond to the command? Kids, can you see this? Can you see how Jonah responds to the Lord's command? Look at what he does in verse 3. What is the verb? What does he do? God has given this command to rise, to go to Nineveh, to cry out against it. And what does Jonah do? What does it say? Look at verse 3. Jonah rose to flee. What has he fled? He has fled the sovereign commanding authority of God. He has risen to flee. He runs. And you look at it. Where does he go? He goes to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. How has the Lord made his presence known? Well, he's spoken. He has commanded to Jonah. He's given his law. He's given his commission. He's given this task. When the Lord gives his law, what does he do? When the Lord gives his command, when he speaks, when he commissions, what is he doing? When he gives you the Ten Commandments, when he gives you the moral law, when Christ speaks his word, what has he given you? Has he not given you this perfect, unerring, unchanging standard? When the Lord gives the law, what has he given? When he gives his command, what has he set before you? Has he not given you and set before you this perfect, pure standard that is without error,
without alteration, a law which is to be obeyed from the heart, a law which is extensive in its claims, a law which reigns supreme. That is his scepter. What is the scepter that goes forth? When we sang Psalm 110, what is the scepter that goes forth out of Zion? Well, it is his word. It is his law. To whom is that law sent? He sends out his word. He sends out the promise. He sends out his commandments. When his law goes out, to whom is it sent? Now, where does it go? Well, it's going to go to Nineveh. It's going to go to the nations. And how would you describe Nineveh? Look at verse 2. It is a great city. It is an evil city whose wickedness has come up before the Lord. The foul stench of their transgression has ascended. It has come up before me. Jonah has received a command, a commission. And what does he do? Jonah rose to flee. How do you respond to the commission and the commandment of God? I mean, what does it do to you? What does it do to your soul? When you hear the command, when you hear the call, whether it is the command, thou shalt not kill, remember the Sabbath, or repent and believe. Each of those are commands, right? Repent and believe. That's a gospel call. That's a command. Remember the Sabbath. Thou shalt not kill. What does it do to your soul when you hear the commandments of God? It is in our nature. If you, like a friend of mine several years ago, if it is your tendency to squirm, that is our natural tendency. It is in our nature to squirm under the commandments and the call of Christ. It's in our nature. We're going to learn of Jonah. He feared the Lord. He feared the God of Israel. He considered himself a servant of the God of Israel. And yet it was still in his nature. He was still wrestling against the old self, which tends to flee. We flee the commandments of God. We flee the commission of Christ. We flee the summons of the Bible. It is a flight. And so I want you to see from this text that this flight from the commandments of God, this flight from his commission, how would you describe that flight? Well, it is first of all a fleeing. It is a flight from the presence of God. Okay, to flee from the commandments of God is actually to flee from the presence of God. Look at verse 3. Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. And kids, where did he go? He flees to Tarshish away from what? Away from the presence of the Lord. Now, where is God? God is everywhere. Can you play hide and seek with God? Can you ever run away from God? Yeah, he fills Just like smoke. Smoke, when it ascends and it just spreads and it fills the place. When you set your grill, if you set your grill under the porch, what happens to the smoke? It fills the place. You know, he fills immensity with his presence. There's no place where you can go to flee or to run away from who he is, to run away from his presence. So when it says that Jonah rose to flee from the presence of the Lord, what is he saying? He's saying that Jonah rose to evade the authority of God, that he rose to flee. It is a flight away from the grace of God, from the favor of God, from the conscious awareness of the authority of God. What is he doing? He is evading. This is an act of evasion. He is evading what? He is evading the holy, the sovereign presence, the commanding presence of God. It is exactly, precisely what happened in the garden with our first parents. What happens in the garden? Adam and Eve, they fall, and what do? They go from this pure, perfect fellowship with God to fleeing his presence. They no longer want to hear his voice. They do not want him near. They shun the glory, the attributes, the holiness, the majesty, the purity, the sovereignty of God. They shun it. They flee. They run. Y'all, what does the gospel do? What does Jesus Christ and him crucified, what does Jesus do? Does he not take this unbridgeable gap between earth and heaven, and does he not close it? Does he not close the gap? What did Jesus do in the gospel? Did he not give himself the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God? Is that not exactly what Peter says? Peter describes the gospel that Jesus gives himself the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. What is the gospel? It reverses and it closes the distance. There is this chasm. There's this exile. You know, you and I, we are exiles from the commonwealth of Israel. We are strangers to the covenants of promise. There is this infinite, unbridgeable gap which cannot be closed. And what does Jesus do? He goes to the cross. He sheds his blood. He obeys the law in our stead. He takes this law of God, this perfect, pure, holy, unerring standard, and he obeys the law in your stead. And then he goes to the cross to suffer the penalty, the curse for having transgressed, for having rebelled, for having risen to flee from that commanding authority. You and I, we rise to flee from the law of God. What has Jesus done? Jesus in the gospel has taken that law and he has obeyed it in our place. And so what does he do? He is going to relentlessly pursue the prophet Jonah. What does he do in the gospel? He reclaims you for himself. He binds you to himself with cords which can never be broken, cemented by his blood, welded by his spirit. I on his oath depend. Did we not just sing those words? He by himself hath sworn, I on his oath depend. And what will he do? He will restore communion with God. That is what the gospel is all about. It's all about you being brought near unto Christ. The sweetness of fellowship, the sheer joy. What has Jonah done? He has risen to flee. What does Christ do in the gospel? He restores and brings us back to the presence of the Lord. Now, where do you find his presence? You find his presence wherever his word goes forth. You find his authority. You find his favor. You find his grace wherever the gospel is proclaimed, wherever the word is read, preached, prayed, sung. You are now. What does it mean for you and I to now be in the presence of the Lord? It means that you are now, where you are seated, you are in the place where he delights to meet with his people. We sang of Zion's sacred height just a few minutes ago. What is Zion? Zion is the place where the Lord delights. He has chosen Zion, Psalm 132. He delights to meet with his people. What are the means of grace all about? The means of grace where Christ takes the word, takes the sacraments, he takes prayer, and he uses these simple tools to build a Christian, to rebuild a soul after the image of God. For you to be in the presence of God, there is no deeper joy. There's no sweeter, cherished presence for you. You are here. His glory passes by. His law goes forth. His promises are set before you. Surely the Lord is in this place, Jacob says. And I did not know it. To flee the commandments of God is to flee the presence of God. There's no sharp severing of God from his commandments. We don't separate Jesus from the Bible. We worship the Jesus of the Bible because Jesus gave the Bible. So we search the Scriptures. And why do we search the Scriptures? Why do you long and ache for every word that falls from the mouth of the Son of God? Why do you long for the Scriptures? Well, it's because as you search the Scriptures, you are seeking Him. And you felt it before. You are in his sacred presence. You've been restored from flight. A flight that has shunned the presence of God. A flight that found assistance. You have been restored from a fleeing from him, a flight from him that was assisted. This flight from the commandments of God, it is assisted. Look at what happens with Jonah. What does Jonah find? So he goes to Tarshish, and just tell me what he finds. Or not tell me, tell yourself. What does he find? He finds a ship. He finds sailors. He pays the fare. He goes with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord, away from the commanding authority and from the gracious presence of God. If it is your resolve to evade the authority of God, if it is your preference to shift and squirm under the commandments of Christ, the world will help you out. You will find your way is provided. You won't even have to pay the fare. If it is your preference to shun the commandments of God, you are guaranteed to find companions. Companions who will assist you. Companions who will cheer you on. As you increase your pace into worldly thought, into worldly behavior, into open rebellion against the commandments of God, you will find people who are cheering your name. This is a flight that is assisted. What does the gospel do? What does Christ do in the gospel? Does he not replace? The gospel in many ways is about replacement. Does he not replace opportunity for sin with blood-bought provision? Does he not replace, you know, our desires? The world will at times align. Worldly opportunity, sinful opportunity will align with sinful desire. Jonah's desire to flee aligned with opportunity. What does the gospel do? What does Jesus do in the gospel? Did he not replace that opportunity with blood-bought provision? What does Christ do for you? He gives you every provision, every supply, every fullness. The command is to repent and believe. The call is for you to flee to Christ, to run to Him, to fly to Christ, to mortify sin, that by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh. The call is for open war against sin. The call is to take this scalpel of the Word and for there to be a surgical removal of those things that are heinous in His sight. And what does He do? What does He provide? Christ in the gospel, He makes abundant provision. It's not even a small portion. It is abundant provision. There's a fullness in Christ. And what does He do from that fullness? He gives you the Spirit to mortify. He gives you the Spirit teaching you to pursue, teaching you to run. And He even pays the fare. What does Christ do in the gospel? He provides the funds. He pays the fare. He provides you with a ship. He provides you with an ark. He provides you. You have the ark of Christ. And that ark of Christ, where is it headed? That ark of Christ, it is not fleeing away from the presence of the Lord. This ark of Christ, it is headed for that celestial city, the Jerusalem above, which is free, which is our mother. It is headed for that eternal day. The goodly land I see, a land forever blessed, we just now sang. It's architecture. You remember Mr. Gary reminding us of what this room is, what this room is called, that this is the nave. I never knew what a nave was. You are in the ark, and you are safe. There is abundant provision. The pure milk of the Word, strong meat for His disciples,
protection from the storms that round us rise? You're in the nave. Kids, you are safe in the arms of Christ. He closes the distance, and then he makes abundant provision. He undoes the flight. The last description we can make of this flight away from the authority, the commandments of God, it's also persistent. We engage in a persistent flight away from the commands and authority of Christ. Where does Jonah go? He goes down. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went on board to go with them. It's a lot of verbs right in a row. Sin has a way of spreading as an infection. It scatters its seeds. It snowballs. Picks up momentum. And if left unchecked, it proceeds with headlong speed. King Hezekiah. Y'all, this can happen to the best of men. King Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles chapter 32. He's described as having been left. The Lord left him. He's a good man, a godly king. And it's said of Hezekiah, the Lord left him to try him, to test what was in his heart. It is said of the king in Genesis chapter 20 that the Lord restrained him. The Lord restrained the king from taking Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now, there is a restraining grace. The Lord has us on a leash. Now, if left unchecked, if our desires and our passions were left unchecked, if this flight away from the commandments of God was left unguarded, where would it end? What would be its destination? What would happen? Oh, but we give praise to the God of all grace. What does he do? He replaces. Once again, there is a replacement. He replaces this deliberate descent, this deliberate spiral, this deliberate flight away from the presence of the Lord. What does he replace it with? He replaces it with a deliberate pursuit of Christ, a pursuit of holiness, a pursuit of sanctification, where it is a string of verbs. We call upon his name. We repent and believe. We love his commandments. We delight in his statutes. We search the scriptures. We remember the Sabbath day. We ascend the holy hill. Y'all, the gospel, he is reversing this trend of human nature, which is to flee, which is to shun, to run from the presence of God. What does he do in the gospel? He reverses it. And he gives you instead an increased appetite for Christ. He gives you this increased hunger and thirst after righteousness. You long, you ache for the word. And you can't get enough. What do you see in the prophet Jonah? He flees. He is persistent. He has to pause to pay.
Pause to get on the ship. Pause, inquire about finding a ship. Y'all, that's all replaced. And it will be replaced in the book of Jonah. It's all replaced in the gospel. And he gives us a willful, deliberate pursuit. He makes you, what do we sing in Psalm 110? A willing people in thy day of power shall come to thee. He makes you willing in the day of his power. So you must flee. This day, before you rise from your seat, you must flee. You must flee not away from the presence of the Lord. No, you must flee to Christ. You flee to the one who has commanded. You flee to the one who's spoken. You flee. You fly to the one whose authority is over the waters, the one who speaks over the wind and the waves. You flee to Christ, the one who provides, the one who's paid your fare, the one who provides you with companions, who provides you with a family. Nestled in the nave, safe in his arms. Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and oh, that you and I would be stirred and quickened to rise to flee to Christ, the one who's paid the fare. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Lord, we would now bow before the majesty of your throne. We ask that you would give us to feel the weight of our sin and the glory and the beauty and the loveliness of our Savior. Lord, give us to cherish the felt presence of Christ. Oh, that you even now stand at the door and knock. That you even now knock through the call of the gospel. Oh Lord, would you make us willing in the day of your power to rise, to trust, and would you come in, and would you make your home with us? As we ask in Jesus' name, amen.